Pictures from Italy. The reader's passport. If the readers of this volume will be so kind as to take their credentials for the different places which are the subject of its author's reminiscences from the author himself, perhaps they may visit them, in fancy, the more agreeably, and with a better understanding of what they are to expect. Many books have been written upon Italy, affording many means of studying the history of that interesting country, and the innumerable associations entwined about it. I make but little reference to that stock of information, not at all regarding it as a necessary consequence of my having had recourse to the storehouse for my own benefit, that I should reproduce its easily accessible contents before the eyes of my readers. Neither will there be found, in these pages, any grave examination into the government or misgovernment of any portion of the country. No visitor of that beautiful land can fail to have a strong conviction on the subject, but as I chose when residing there, a foreigner, to abstain from the discussion of any such questions with any order of Italians, so I would rather not enter on the inquiry now. During my 12 months' occupation of a house at Genoa, I never found that authorities constitutionally jealous were distrustful of me, and I should be sorry to give them occasion to regret their free courtesy, either to myself or any of my countrymen. There is, probably, not a famous picture or statue in all Italy, but could be easily buried under a mountain of printed paper devoted to dissertations on it. I do not, therefore, though an earnest admirer of painting and sculpture, expatiate at any length on famous pictures and statues. This book is a series of faint reflections, mere shadows in the water of places to which the imaginations of most people are attracted in a greater or less degree, on which mine had dwelt for years, and which have some interest for all. The greater part of the descriptions were written on the spot, and sent home, from time to time, in private letters. I do not mention the circumstance as an excuse for any defects they may present, for it would be none, but as a guarantee to the reader that they were at least penned in the fullness of the subject, and with the liveliest impressions of novelty and freshness. If they have ever a fanciful and idle air, perhaps the reader will suppose them written in the shade of a sunny day, in the midst of the objects of which they treat, and will like them none the worse for having such influences of the country upon them. I hope I am not likely to be misunderstood by professors of the Roman Catholic faith, on account of anything contained in these pages. I have done my best, in one of my former productions, to do justice to them. And I trust, in this, they will do justice to me. When I mention any exhibition that impressed me as absurd or disagreeable, I do not seek to connect it, or recognize it as necessarily connected with, any essentials of their creed. When I treat of the ceremonies of the Holy Week, I merely treat of their effect, and do not challenge the good and learn Dr. Wiseman's interpretation of their meaning. When I hint a dislike of nunneries for young girls who abjure the world, before they have ever proved or known it, or doubt the ex officio sanctity of all priests and friars, I do no more than many conscientious Catholics both abroad and at home. I have likened these pictures to shadows in the water, and would fain hope that I have, nowhere, stirred the water so roughly as to mar the shadows. I could never desire to be on better terms with all my friends than now, when distant mountains rise, once more, in my path. For I need not hesitate to avow that, bent on correcting a brief mistake I made, not long ago, in disturbing the old relations between myself and my readers, and departing for a moment from my old pursuits, I am about to resume them, joyfully, in Switzerland. Where during another year of absence, I can at once work out the themes I have now in my mind, without interruption. And while I keep my English audience within speaking distance, extend my knowledge of a noble country, inexpressibly attractive to me. 1. This book is made as accessible as possible, because it would be a great pleasure to me if I could hope, through its means, to compare impressions with some among the multitudes who will hereafter visit the scenes described with interest and delight. And I have only now, in passport-wise, to sketch my reader's portrait, which I hope may be thus supposititiously traced for either sex. Complexion fair. Eyes very cheerful. Nose not supercilious. Mouth smiling. Visage beaming. General expression extremely agreeable. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.